All right, so we are in Luke 14. Turn over to Luke 14 as we begin our lesson this morning. So the foundation Sunday school class. Let's get out our trusty. I think we're don't have a memory verse for this week, if you're wondering. So 1 John 2:16 was our last one that we did. Is my lapel on, Brother Coke? I don't think so.
Yep. Now I'm on. Okay. So this is our trusty wall that we're building. Amen. So we've been looking at this the last several weeks. So I want us to look at this for a moment. And I want this lesson to want you to think of it in the realm of a construction project. We know what that is all about around here, don't we? We have construction projects every year, it seems. Every year and a half, probably. The biggest one, the last one we did, was redoing in here. And whenever you're planning a construction project, I was actually counting up. I said, how many construction projects have we planned in the last 10 years? I think we're up to six, between the roof and here and the back and all these places and next door when we had the flood and redoing things. You know, there's always some factors. You know, we look at this class and we've looked at the foundational principles that we need. We see these here. You know, we look at church attendance. We look at forgiveness, honesty, purity. First of all, we need to be submitted to God and do what God would have us do, and then we see the victory. Then we can begin to build line upon line, precept upon precept. And we have been given all the tools, but what is the key to making it all work? What is the key to building the wall? What is the key to seeing, we looked at fruits of the Spirit last week. What is the key to that? And that you must have the correct key. That's what we're looking at today. We've looked at having the correct faith, having the correct knowledge, all of those things, the correct foundation, the correct salvation in Christ. And as we've gone through the series, we've evaluated the essential ingredients to grow in your walk with God. We've seen the foundation, the materials, the dangers, the results, all of those things. But what keeps it all going? What is the key to seeing all of these biblical principles come to full fruition? That's very important because many people see fruit, but they don't see the full fruit for one very simple reason. And we look at, so what is the key, Pastor? What is the key to all of this? It's a very simple word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Ah, Pastor, I was waiting for something earth-shattering. No, one word, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards. The knowledge that we're given here, we have become stewards of it. We must use it wisely. As Jesus gave the parable of the servants, some were wise, one, well, maybe two were not. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And this is true, and when we see this played out in our everyday life, right? You're not going to be promoted if you're not good at your work. If you're not good at your job, you're not on time, you're not faithful to be there on time, you're not faithful to fulfill your responsibilities, you're not going to get promoted. You might not even have a job if you're not faithful in those things. And that is not a worldly principle. That is a biblical principle, and the same goes for the Christian life. And as we look at our passage this morning, we're in Luke 14, we're going to look at what it takes to be faithful. But I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be a very simple lesson today. This is not going to be earth-shattering, very simple, but it's a powerful lesson if we just simply put it into practice. Because let me just be honest with you today. What do we want today? We want something new. We want something earth-shattering. We want something that works, right? This is what Pastor, this is what we want. Well, the old paths still work. And what's true in the Bible is still true today. So what you're going to hear is not earth-shattering in the sense of you've heard it before, but it can be earth-shattering for you if we live by it. So let's look here. Luke 14, turn over there. If we could stand together as you're physically able this morning. Luke 14, verse 30. If you're hurting or sore or something today, you can feel free to stay seated. If you're over 50, no. No. If you're 25 and sore, just stand up. It's okay. All right. Unless you have something broken. We have to have a list of, no, I'm just joking. But Luke 14. So we're over there. I'm going to read some verses, but verse 30, when we get there, I want us to read that out loud together. Okay. So I will read, and then let's read verse 30 together. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Let's read that again out loud together. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing today. And I pray, dear Lord, that we count the cost and be faithful, Lord, to what you have committed to our trust. I pray your blessing. Give me the words to say this morning. I pray that these words would sink deep into our heart, Lord, and that this is the only path, this is the only way that we be faithful to you and faithful to the path you have placed us on and faithful to exercise the truth that you've given us. I pray your blessing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Lesson number 6, the correct key. If you look at any building project, whether it's your project at work, but let's talk about building projects. We're talking about building over the course of this series. A foundation, of course, is salvation, but we look at all of these things, and it boils down to three basic principles. Three basic principles. Here it is. The first is, of course, time. A project takes time to complete, doesn't it? You got to have the right timeline, especially if there's a deadline. You got to make sure that you manage your time properly so that you get to the place where you need to be at. The second is resources. You need materials. We have materials here. We use some wood and screws. We need materials. We already know the materials that we need are found in the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. The materials is what you need. The third is will to do the work. Will to finish the project. So we're going to look at all three of these in turn this morning. The first, number one, taking notes tonight, or this morning, time. This is a really easy thing to take notes on. Time is the point. Like, thank you, Pastor. I know I'm famous for my long point titles. This is one word, okay? You have it easy today. So number one, time. Man is not the creator of time. Though man would like to think he is the creator of time, we know from God's word, God is the creator of time. In Genesis 1:14, in creation week, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. We look at the Bible is full of time. We know that God is outside of time. God is eternal. However, God did create time. God has given us each a specific amount of time in this life, of which we heard preaching a few months ago, whether depending on our decisions, whether we can prolong the time or shorten the time that we live on this earth, depending on what we decide to do with, whether it be our health or whether it be our actions, whatever it is, we have an option here that God has given us an amount of time. Since God is the creator of it, then he is the giver of time. He gives us time. When we view the time that we have, it's not our own time, but that's not how we think. My time is my own, and that my time is precious, and I will give my time to God. Hold on a second. Just like the same way we view the same thing as with money. God gave us the ability to work. God gave us the intelligence to work. God gave us everything that we have, for all is the Lord's. So the money you have in your wallet or in your bank account, or the little electrons floating around out there in the cloud, are not yours. They're God's, and God lets you have it. All God asks for is 10% at least, and also there's free will offerings and others, but 10% back to give to his work. That's all he asks. He could ask for all of it, but he doesn't. But here it is. We must be willing to give all. What does it say? Take up your cross and follow me. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Willing to give all, counting the cost of this. So instead of focusing on the time that we have, instead let's focus on the time that God has given us. That's a great way to view it. This is why God has given us the commandment in Ephesians 5:15-17, Galatians 4:5, we're not going to turn there, but it said redeeming the time. Right? Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Redeeming means to save from loss. Can we lose time in the day and age that we live in? Absolutely yes. We can lose time. So when we want to start out to have the fruits here, we want to build the wall, we want to build it up. How are you using the time that God has given you? Brother Connor, could you help me out over here real quick? All right. Wake up, Jane. Head off. Sit up. Thank you. We're learning this morning, right? Okay, great. Thank you. Never mind. Yeah, thank you very much, Brother Connor. All right. But during a building project, you may have everything else, but you might not make the deadline, right? This is not what we're talking about today, though. You only not make God's deadline if you waste the time that you were given. Here, I preached a sermon last year called We Didn't Know. I encourage you to go back and listen. It's on sermon audio. Go and listen to it. It's about time management. Please listen to that sermon. I'm just going to give you a couple snippets from it, and I'll share a little bit of the statistics about how we waste our time today, okay? So this is publicly available information. I'm just going to go through a few things because it makes us think a little bit about how we spend our time. And perhaps because our time is precious to us and we have time so our time so divided and so committed to other things that we don't have time to see the things of God come to fruition in our life. We don't have time to serve God. We don't have time to learn about God. We don't have time to study our Bibles. We don't have time to go to church. If that's the case, then we're going to have a major problem. So here it is. The average American spends 3 hours and 15 minutes a day on social media. Okay, we think of that and we're like, well, they're just sitting there straight. Not necessarily, but in the time that we spend. The average American spends 1 to 4 hours a day watching TV, an average of 2.5 hours per day. That's on average. And when I'm talking about TV, I'm not necessarily talking about TV in your living room. Now, where is it? On your phone, your tablet, wherever it is. Okay. The average American spends at least 1 hour a day playing video games. Okay, and we're talking about the average American between 18 and 35. That is an average, if we add all that together, of 6 hours and 45 minutes. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, we round that up to 7 hours, since Sundays are for the Lord. Let's make that 6 days a week instead of 7. Okay, so 7 hours a day, 6 days a week. Okay, the average teenager spends 7 hours and 22 minutes a day on their phone. That's the average. You go to school, public school. Average teenager, 7 hours and 22 minutes a day on your phone. Doing all kinds of things, whether it's social media, watching videos, whatever, playing games. The average teen spends 9 hours a day on digital media, which means video games, TV, whatever. Okay, 9 hours a day, that's 8 to 5. That's a long, long day. On the average, people check their phones three, here it is. Now, we check our phones, right? Let me ask a question. How many times, let's do a poll here. How many times do you check your phones in a day? Okay, how many think you check it 50 times? Raise your hand. Like, oh, we're not doing this. Okay, come on. I check my phone 50 times a day at least. Okay, 50 times, okay? Let's just say, do you check your phone 100 times a day? Like, oh, that's kind of high. Yeah, okay. How many think you check it 150 times a day? Like, oh, no, we couldn't do that. Maybe 200 times a day. Especially, you know, Caleb, we know you check your phone because of work, so you get it, right? So here, but, okay, 200 times a day, 250. Like, oh, no, the average American checks their phones 344 times a day. But we're not the average American. See, that's what we do. We just say, well, that's not me. That's not me. I don't do that. We do. And where does that time go? Every time we look at it, usually, on average, I looked at another ones that... And by the way, that averages out to once every 4 minutes. Okay, once every 4 minutes during waking hours. This is amazing to me. 53% of people who are alive today have never been without their phone for more than 24 hours. That's over half of America has never been without their phone for less than 24 hours. You know what? And I'll just say what? It used to be growing up, you know, we drive somewhere, you know, and my mom needed to reach my dad. My mom knew where we were going. We were going to deliver some dental work for the doctor, and my mom would call the dental office like, oh, Chuck, your wife's calling. She wants to tell you something. Oh, okay. Then they call back on the office phone like, hey, what do you need? Oh, we can pick something up from the store. That's fine. And then, but that was it. We didn't have cell phones. Okay. Now, when you leave the house and you don't have your cell phone, what if I break down? what if this happens? What if something happens? What if there's an emergency? Somebody needs me, right? And we go back and get it. Didn't used to be that way. Didn't used to be that way at all. I know some of you young people are like, wow, that's like the olden days. Yeah, it was great, right? Some of you teenagers are like, that was like a long time ago. You know, I'm not that old, so it wasn't that long ago. You know what? Hey, guys, I remember when the first iPhone came out. I remember. Like, wow, you're really old. We're like on iPhone 15 right now. The original iPhone, man, that was lamp. The original iPod. Who remembers the wheel you had to turn, right? The original iPod, do that. I didn't have one of those. There was two. I mean, Apple stuff's expensive. It's still expensive. I get like the five-year-old stuff when I get it. But anyway, but still, that's a 53%. That just blew my mind. I said, so what happens if we lose our, and that's why the world went up, people. When AT&T went down a few weeks ago, oh man, the whole part, that world went upside down because they lost AT&T service. They're having a Senate hearing on that because they lost it. It's like, what happened? All because somebody hit the wrong button, right? But that's how tied in we are. It might have been a cyber attack. I don't know. But people are making this big deal. I mean, okay. Now, I understand communication is important. Here it is. Here are the numbers. Average adults. Okay. Now, this is just for entertainment. This does not include necessary communication for business or family on your phone. Just entertainment. With an average of 7 hours per day, an average of 8 hours of sleep, and waking hours 16. Okay, so 7 hours per day. Let's just do some averages here. What I'm talking about here, the 7 hours a day, this is not using it for texting and communicating. This is just for extra things or for work. So we're awake 16 hours a day on average. So that's 44% of your day is taken up with this. Almost half of looking at a screen made up of pixels and electrons and a lithium-ion battery. Okay. Man, if we can't find a charging spot for our phone, man, the world is going to end, right? That's 42 hours a week. Or, we'll look at that, 2.6 waking hour days, 16 hours, that's 2.6 days per week that we're on our phones. That's 168 hours a month. That's 1 week of 24-hour days, by the way, or 10 and a half 16-hour days in a month. So 10 days out of a month, we're on our phone. That's total time. That, by the way, when I crunched these numbers, it shocked me too. That's 2,000 hours a year. That's 84 24-hour days in a year. That's 12 weeks or just under 3 months looking at this, doing this. For some people, it's more than that. That's astounding. Over 10 years, in a 10-year span of time, you'll spend 2.3 years on your phone. In 30 years, you'll spend almost 8 years. That's crazy amount of time. We don't know. That's the average adult. The average teen, it gets worse. This is the generation coming up. It gets worse. 9 hours a day, okay, of digital media. 7 days a week. That's 63 hours a week. I mean, that's a job with overtime. No wonder why the young people today can't get a job. Because they spend all their time on their phone instead of working. Okay? 63 hours a week. That's 2.5 24-hour days. Or that's 4 16. We talked about the waking hours. So that's 4 full days of waking hours. That's 56% of the day every day. Over half, almost 60%. 252 hours a month. That's 10 and a half 24-hour days. So 10 days, almost 11 days out of a 30-day month, you're on your phone or on digital media of some kind. 3,000 24 hours a year, that's 126 days out of the year. In 1 year. Do some math there. There's 365 days in a year, 126 are spent. That's crazy, isn't it? And a teenage, and the teen, when you're a teenager from the age you're 13, to the day you turn 20. Okay, so in that time, the average teenager right now will spend 7 years on digital media between the ages of 13 and 20. Oh, sorry, in that 7 years, they'll spend 2.4 years 2.4 years out of 7. That's 882 days. There's a major problem. The reality is that we spend 7 to 8 hours a week on serving God in church, whether it be if you came Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you went visiting for an hour or did a ministry for an hour during the week, 7 to 8 hours a week. That's all God gets in the average Christian life. But that is not 7 to 8 hours per day. That's per week. That's about an hour a day. So we can say we're sold out to God when the digital media takes 7 to 8 times more time than we spend with God on a daily basis. It is those little moments that 2 minutes here and 5 minutes there, it all adds up. So what's the point? The point is this: if you want to be faithful, then you need to manage your time for the glory of God and invest your time in things that matter. Because who remembers the Facebook post we looked at yesterday? We don't. Who remembers the Snapchat you sent yesterday? Well, nobody does because it deletes itself, so, right? But nobody does. We don't. By the way, there's danger there. Oh, great way to hide sin. Oh, no one's going to see what I said. No one's going to see a record of it. It deletes itself in a few minutes, right? Whenever I hear of those apps, I'm like, yep, a teenager was the designer for that app. Or a young adult that didn't want to get caught saying something or doing something they didn't want to get caught doing. Because isn't that how mankind is? All traces, let's remove all traces. Let's clear the browser history. Well, that's why we need accountability to avoid those pitfalls. Time, how are we using our time? So the second is resources. Resources. So God gives us time, but it's up to us. He gives us the choice of how we manage it. Second is the resources. The second item, you need to build a project. You need resources. Like here, we have wood. We have screws. We need the resource of the tool to cut it in the right shape. We need the resource of the design plan. All those resources. And like, oh, where am I going to get those for my Christian life? You don't have to worry about those either. God provides that too. God provides the time. God provides the resources. Man, this is turning out to be a pretty good deal, isn't it? Is there for the taking. We have learned the resources during the series of lessons that we need. The resources that we need are found in the Bible. Once again, God's word to mankind is where we get our knowledge, where we get our basis, where we get our foundation. If you want to grow, you need to be in the book. That's not going to change, but we don't like that answer because it's an old answer. It's the old way. Well, guess what? We need to look for the old paths. Because they still work. We want a new answer. Ever have that with your parents? You know what? You asked the same question, you kept getting the same answer, but you're hoping you're going to get a different answer. Right? I told you, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say this. Yes, why'd you ask? I just thought maybe you changed your mind. Well, I will say this. My parents rarely changed their mind. It was rare. My dad never changed his mind, ever. never. He said no. It was going to be no. And you know what? And my kid said, Dad, you know, maybe. And sometimes I change my mind. Sometimes I do. Like, well, okay. You know, that's fine. You know, sometimes we make decisions and we say no a little too quickly. But my dad said no. I didn't. I'll go ask mom to try and convince him because I wasn't going to convince him. A couple of times I got my mom to change his mind. But, you know, it was just, reasoning there. But there are times there we want the new answer to things. We've learned. We know what the answer is. We know what the principles are. But are you going to put them into practice? Our responsibility is twofold. Simply what? To learn it and to do it. Keep it. We looked at Psalm 15 last week that we need to keep the word of God. To learn it, look over James chapter 1. James chapter 1, turn over there. These resources are limitless, for they are eternal. The words of the living God, the building blocks of biblical principles will never fail. They are timeless for today's issues and obstacles. They will never change. They'll never change. They'll never change. So let's use them. Let's build them. I don't know about you. When you want to build something that's solid, you want something that's not going to move, that's not going to be movable, that is not going to change. James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Isn't that the day we live in? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let me ask you a question, what this is talking about. How many remember what you looked like when you woke up and looked yourself in the mirror Tuesday last week? It's a pastor. It was terrible. I'm trying to forget about that. No. Let's just be honest on average. But if you did remember, that's the exception to the rule. To be honest, none of us remember what we look like, many even this morning. Why? Because we just look at ourselves and we either fix what we need to fix or we say we look fine and we just go on our day. And so the Word of God shows us what we look like and like, oh, that's nice. And we go on our way. That's what someone that hears the Word of God and hears the preaching and looks at it, even reads the Word of God on a daily basis, has said, that's nice. Well, I was encouraged today. But it doesn't change anything. You're not doing anything. You're not going anywhere. And a lot of people do that. You'd be surprised how many people do that. How many people read their Baptist bread and they just like, oh, I feel so encouraged today. And go on their way. Don't change a thing. We have to decide to use the resources. And here it is. And I'm not saying that like the Baptist bread's wrong. What I'm saying is that you're given the resources, you're given the tools, but you're leaving the tool, you're leaving the resource on the table. You're not picking it up. You're not putting it into place. Like, well, I don't understand why I'm not growing as a Christian, because you're not doing the work, being faithful. We're to hear the word. What do we continue reading here? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. What does that mean? To continue to apply it, to keep it. Over and over again in the scriptures, it talks about keeping the word of God in the Old and the New Testament. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the what? Work. To say it again. Work. But wait, I thought it was God that did it. He does. He gives us the ability to do the work, but we still have to decide to do the work. We have to decide. There's a movement afoot that said all we have to do is just sit there and wait, and then God will do the rest. I'm sorry. If you want to build the Christian life, you got to make some decisions. I'm sorry. It is not the Holy Spirit of God that's going to throw out your dirty movie. It's going to be you. It's not going to be the Holy Spirit of God that all of a sudden deletes all the terrible games on your phone. It's going to be you, because you put them there. You planted the seeds. It's time for you to pull them out. It's not going to be the Spirit of God that turns off the radio when bad music comes on. It's going to be you. Amen. So what? But God gives us the ability to the pricking and the conviction. Hey, this is wrong, but you have to make the choice. You have to do the work. This is wrong biblically. You're the one that has to say no to the friend that wants you to go out drinking this tonight, or be the designated driver. You know, I'll never forget this. I had a soldier this several years ago. He came and said, you know what, I'm a Christian. I said, well, that's great. He said, you know, I invited him to come over for an activity. I think we have an activity Friday. He goes, oh, I'm busy. I'm going out with my friends. I'm like, well, just stay away from that drinking. No, I just shoot straight and just stay away from it. Oh, I don't drink. Pastor, I don't drink. But I do go around, and I'm the designated driver for my friends. I take them to bar. I don't drink, but I drive them around. I'm the designated driver. And I said, well, I'm glad you're looking out for your friends, you know, because we're supposed to do that. We're battle buddies, you know, we're supposed to do that. I was like, well, the Bible does talk about separation from sinful things. I said, are your friends, you don't drink. Why? Well, it's a sin, Pastor. I don't drink. It's a sin. I was like, so you're just enabling other people to sin. He's like, well, he kind of hung his head. I was like, so here it is. Can I tell you something? I said, if you continue to do this, you will end up drinking yourself very quickly, because that's how it works. And lo and behold, a few months later, it happened. Right? Here's why. We have to make decisions. It's not going to be the Holy Spirit that tells your friends to not ask you anymore. You're going to say, you know, don't ask me to do that anymore. I don't do that. You have to make decisions. You have to do the work. You have to apply it. So this morning, are you going to apply? Be faithful in applying day by day. Here is the simple truth. Will you continue to faithfully build with God's materials found in his word? God gives us all the resources and empowerment through his grace. But we must be a what? Doer of the work. This man shall be what? Blessed. That's fruitfulness. Blessed in his deed. You'll be blessed in it. The next thing comes to the third resource, or the third part of this. So the first part is time. God gives us the time. Second is resources. God gives us the resources. God gives us the building blocks. Third is will. We have the time. We have the resources. However, something that God cannot give us. I'll say this. God cannot give us this. God can't give us the desire and make the decision to do right. God gives us a new heart. I understand that. But at the end of the day, we must decide what we're going to do. God gives us a free choice. God doesn't force his will on anybody, but he gives you a choice. And that's why Jesus said, you need to count the cost here. Instead of building that building and not being able to finish it and all mock. And you know what? There's too many Christians that the world mocks because they weren't able to finish. But how do we avoid that? Something that God leaves in our department is the will to obey. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. Did they have the will and desire to obey? God has given all of us a choice. Are we going to obey? Because we can't blame it on anybody else if we obey or not. Isn't that what tries to happen? What's going on? Well, you know what? It wasn't my fault that I didn't obey. Really? You know what? Isn't that what Adam tried to do? It wasn't my fault I disobeyed. It was the wife you gave me, God, who tried to blame his wife and God. It was their fault, not mine. And God goes to Eve, and Eve says, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the serpent's fault. And guess who made the serpents? It was you. It wasn't me. It was his fault. Well, guess what? Did God take that? No, he judged all three because all three were guilty. Do we have that desire? Do we have the will? Do we? And you know what? If we're saved, I hope we have that desire to do right. If you're saved, you have that desire to do right. You have a desire to please God. You have a desire to love God. That's why the part of that becomes a new creation. But we have time given to us by God. We have the resources that are from his eternal storehouse. But here, faithfulness in this area, in our will, are we going to finish? Because we can have all of that. If you're in the building project, and you're like, oh, you're in the hard part. By the way, it's easy to finish the project when you can see the end of the project. But guess what? Every time we've done projects in this building, when we did the roof and we ripped all the tiles out and all of the insulation out and the roof was off and I stood in this auditorium and I looked up and I saw the stars outside. And I was like, oh my Lord, what have we done? This is never going to go back together again. You know, it was like, I looked at him like, Lord, we're in trouble. You're going to have to help us because all the tiles, all the grid was there. The lights were in there, but the grid was there, but the tiles were gone. I was like, we're in trouble. And it's very easy to say, you know what? We're in trouble. We're not going to go. And then when we did the auditorium renovation, right? Whole front ripped out. Okay. Carpet's gone. Everything's gone. I'm like, I hope this works. Right? And you know, you always think that. And by the way, you know what? Well, the Lord has brought us talented people and gifted people. It'll all go back together just fine. All went back together just fine. I hope you think so. But you know, and praise the Lord, it went back together. But you know what? When we get to that place, especially when you begin, there needs to be some demolition. If you're going to live for God, there sometimes needs to be some demolition. Things are removed. And like, oh, my life will never go back together again. My life will never be able to be straightened out. My life will never be what it needs to be. You're wrong. God will do it. But we must do the work. Step at a time. Remember, we had all stripped out, but it began with what? Laying some electrical work and then putting pieces of wood in place and screwing them together piece by piece by piece, putting sheetrock up, putting studs up, sheetrock, then putting texture on it and then putting paint, and it looks great. And I know those walls are very sound walls. No, they're straight. Because Brother Terry spent a long time making sure they were square. I mean, he was like, I'll never forget putting these things up. It went from, had a top part there, but I remember one that, especially that one that's tilted just right. I mean, he was there. He would go up and down the lift, tap, tap, measure, go up, tap, tap, measure. He did it like 10 times. Make sure exactly in the right spot, then pow, pow, nailed it in. And I said, he's going up again. He's measuring it and, you know, make sure it was in the right spot. Faithfulness, not doing bad work, but we don't need to get distracted. 1 John 2:16, right? With what we've been learning, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Oh, that's a great way to get distracted and lose your will to do what God would have you do. But also, do not get discouraged. Remember, we'll reap if we faint not. Amen. Oh, we faint. We're like, oh, this is too much. I can't do this. Guess what? Going against the grain is hard. Going to get upstream is hard. It takes work, but God is able to sustain. He'll mount you up with wings as eagles. If we trust him, that's where we need to trust him there. To continue making those, here it is. What is faithfulness? To continue making those daily God-centered decisions. Amen. And, you know, some here today, you're here today because you made daily God-centered decisions. You know what? We look at people's lives like, oh, I want to be like so-and-so. And like, you know, I want to be like Pastor Mrs. Harvey. I want to be like the Hammonds. They have been faithful and they've loved the Lord and they're an example to us. Praise God for that. How did they get there? Daily decisions for God, right? You know? And Connor's given up and given testimony. How do you get from, you know, being a soldier to now in the ministry, going to be our intern, married, three beautiful children? And you know what? I just made daily Bible-centered decisions, one at a time. And it's just amazing where you end up. Amen? I mean, I don't know how he got here either. No. No. But praise the Lord. We're excited. Amen. And that's all the Christian life is. Daily making those Christ, God-centered decisions day by day by day, week after week, month after month, decade after decade. I mean, I know, praise God if you've been faithful for a year, but guess what? We honor those that have been faithful for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, praise God you've been faithful, but don't celebrate anything until I'm right before heaven's door and even after that I was faithful to the end. Because that's what Paul said. I finished my course. What is he saying? God, I've been faithful to the end. And look at the fruit. We have the word, that whole section of the word of God is fruit of Paul's life of dedication to God. He counted the cost and he had to go through a lot of things. And he gave that as testimony. Beaten, whipped, stoned. Man, it's a big deal. To continue to meet with God in prayer daily, to continue to daily read God's instructions for us, to continue daily to be submitted to God's direction for our day. We talked about that Wednesday night. Thankfulness is the key to all of it. Simply doing it day after day, as I said, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, then see what God has done with that person's life. But preacher, that doesn't sound exciting. That doesn't sound exciting. Oh, there's exciting steps along the way. I can tell you that. But you know what? Just the daily, oh, that sounds like so. You sound like my grandparents. They had something. Amen? It hasn't changed. God doesn't change anything. But the younger generation are looking for something different. There's no replacement for faithfulness. You know what? There's many that are beginning to see that. There's no replacement for faithfulness. That is what has built strong families is faithfulness. That what builds a strong church is faithfulness. That is what even has built the industries of our country. People that went to work faithfully every day, didn't take sick days and just worked and were faithful and they retired with a pension after 30 years at the machine shop. That's what built our country. Faithfulness. But all of those things, you know why those industries have gone by the wayside? Well, they're too expensive because what has happened? Generations have come up. Oh, I'll be faithful, but you gotta pay me though. You gotta pay me. And you know what? Too many Christians get up to God. Okay, God, I'll be faithful, but hey, what do I get out of it? What do I get? I gotta get something. Oh, you know what God says? You're gonna get persecution. You're gonna get trial. You're gonna get tribulation. But praise God, you'll have eternal benefits in heaven. Praise God. That's what you're gonna get. And that's why when Jesus, and it was amazing. You know, this is, I was listening this week. I was at camp meeting, and the evangelist, he said, you know what? And I said, Jesus was never swayed by a large number of listeners or discouraged by a few. He said, he just preached to whoever he was to preach to. And I said, you know what? You want to see, He said, you want to see how to take a congregation of 20,000 and take it down to 12? And one of those was a devil. He said, read Luke chapter, I think it was Mark 14. He said, when they went away and they no longer followed him, he said, yeah, we want to see how to take a church of 20,000 down to 12. Right? Just follow the example of Jesus. Because we get so caught up. Here it is. Let me ask you a question here for a moment. It's about being faithful. Whenever you go about and you say, hey, oh, you know, you visit a church and go to Tabernacle Baptist Church, you're like, oh, that's great. Oh, where is that? And different things. You know what I get asked every single place I go? Maybe you get asked this question. What is it? Who knows what it is? Well, how big is your church? How many people go to your church? Why does that matter? Right? Does that matter? Oh, it does to a lot of people because we've been programmed that way, because numbers equal success, not necessarily. Guess what? The mega chop is like, what, 10,000 people go to church there. Doesn't make them biblical, does it? No, it doesn't. You go, there are a lot of churches that have 1,000 people in attendance. Does that make them biblical? No. Has God blessed our church? Praise God. You know, would we like to grow and minister to more people? Not just who we can say, oh, we have 100, we have 150. That's not the point. If that's the point for us, then and there's some people, they come into smaller churches like, oh, there's not enough people here. I guess, you know, we're just going to go on to other places. Now, sometimes that's a reason because there's not biblical teaching. But at the same time, if we're being faithful and we're preaching the word of God and God has given us the number we have, praise God for it. Be thankful. We have gotten into numbers. Got to be careful of that. But here it is. There's a question for you as we close out the series. How faithful are you? Only you can know how faithful you are. I can't know. Nobody can know. There can be outward indications, but how faithful are you in the ministries God's given you? How faithful are you in your daily walk with God? How faithful are you in prayer? Only you can know that. Only you can know that. But the only fruit you're going to see is if you are faithful. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray your blessing. Pray that you would guide us in this morning service to come. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to serve you. We thank you for so many faithful people, Lord, that they love you, Lord, and they faithfully seek you. They faithfully pray. They faithfully read your word, and it has brought stability and fruitfulness to their life. I pray, dear Lord, that others, we would see others discipled in that and make that decision and count the cost, dear Lord, to live for you. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.